On the transit from Corrigan to Trinidad, Gunnar made time to talk to Simon, the cause of the whole problem. Simon the stagehand, or fugitive, looked exactly as Basil had described him. Late middle-aged, with short silvery-gray hair going bald on top, a nondescript face, a medium forgettable stature, and very bright, very intelligent brown eyes.
I'm Gunnar Tarakian, captain of this ship. Can you tell me why I shouldn't just space you for all the trouble you've caused?
Gunnar had no intention of doing it, but he thought this might startle some information out of the man who had looked altogether too self-possessed when he came in.
It would be a sin, though I'm not sure what your beliefs are. Do you consider spacing people wrong or not?
Does he think I wouldn't space anyone, or does he not care if it happens to him?
Wrong, of course. But I also think it's wrong to come sneaking aboard ships and get them in trouble with the authorities.
Discourteous. I'm not sure I'd agree on wrong, at least not at the same level as spacing someone.
This was not going to be easy. Gunnar felt himself getting hot behind his ears, a bad sign. He took a slow breath, trying to stay calm and not think of what he wanted to do to Basil.
Simon, Tarakian and Sons has been careful to avoid carrying fugitives.
Then why didn't you let them take me off at Valletta?
Once aboard, you became my responsibility. I was not going to let foreigners on my ship. But we simply cannot afford to have you destroying a reputation we've built over generations. I need to know why you are a fugitive. And I must tell you that I'm going to turn you over to the authorities when we get to Castle Rock.
I'm a heretic. At least that's what they call me. Actually, I prefer to call myself an enlightened theologian.
This is a religious issue?
Simon nodded.
I didn't know the Benignity cared that much about religion.
But don't you know that we're the one place where the true faith has survived?
Which true faith? I know a dozen sects, 2 dozen, each claiming to be the one true faith.
That's what's wrong with the Familius Regnant. Too many sects, too many different belief systems not founded on the truth.
And there's only one in the Benignity?
Yes, of course. Officially, at least. Well, I suppose there are pockets of other beliefs here and there. People are so superstitious, you know.
So, if they think you're a heretic, does this mean you've strayed from this truth?
They think I have, but actually I haven't. They have.
Another religious nut.
Gunnar had not forgotten the young drunk in the bar at Zenebra Station, and though that one had been far more obnoxious than Simon, he still considered Simon one of the same type, at least for now.
So, why are they so anxious to catch a heretic?
Because I was the chairman's confessor. His last confessor, anyway.
What's a confessor?
A priest someone tells their sins to, in private, under the seal of confession, which means that priest can't ever tell anyone else what the person said. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't have been the chairman's confessor, but I was there, in the palace, and his regular confessor got sick. A priest is a priest at times like this, so...
Simon spread his hands.
A heretic?
Not yet declared one. I'd gone up to the city to talk to my superiors, you see, to explain where they, or their predecessors, had misinterpreted the applicable passages, but I'd not yet done so.
I see.
Well then, I heard the chairman's last confession, and then he was executed.
Wait! Executed?
Yes. I can't tell you why, because he told me during his confession. Anyway, they killed him, and that was that. Except that a few days later, after hearing my testimony and arguments, the church decided that I was a heretic, had been one for at least 2 years, the time in which I'd been working on that thesis. Which meant the late chairman's confession had been heard by a heretic, which was more than a little irregular. They were afraid I'd tell, you see, because of being a heretic.
They think you know some secrets the chairman told you, which you could be trusted not to tell if you'd not been a heretic. But now they think you'll blurt it all out.
Yes. They know I know things which no one else knows, should know, because they trust that the late chairman made a full and complete confession, and that would naturally include many things about the internal workings of the government.
Did he make a full and complete confession? And how would you know if he did or not?
God would know, and an experienced priest can usually tell. I certified that the chairman had made such a confession.
So they didn't trust you to keep it quiet, and the first thing you do is run toward their enemy?
Not the first thing. I tried to explain that I took my vows seriously, that I would never violate the confessional. But it was clear they didn't believe me. The new chairman in particular did not trust me. I am willing to die for my faith, Captain Tarakian, but not for a misunderstanding. So I fled. As a scholar, I'd traveled widely, teaching and doing research in many places, so I knew how to travel discreetly, most of the time. I'd intended to slip across to the Guernsey Republic, which is shockingly liberal in its views on religion, but has a marvelous set of archives where I thought I could find more material to prove my case. But then they found my trail.
So how did you end up with the theatrical troupe?
God guided me.
Gunnar blinked, thought about asking more, and decided it could wait for another day. Reception at the regular space service sector of Trinidad Station swarmed with hurried, anxious fleet personnel trying to make connections to their assigned ships, and equally hurried, anxious fleet personnel trying to keep track of them. Esme Suiza Serrano stepped into the ID booth and waited for the ping that would mean she'd matched her reference values. Instead, the little flashing light that should have gone green and steady went red and frantic instead.
Do not attempt to exit the booth. Remain in place until security personnel release the lock.
Esme turned to look and found herself facing the ominous maw of a weapon, with a very tense security guard in armor behind it.
Hands on your head! Step this way!
In the face of the weapon, Esme didn't argue. She knew she was who she said she was. She knew she hadn't done anything criminal, but this was not the time to say so. She put her hands on her head and stepped this way. Beyond the booth, two more guards waited, both armed, with weapons drawn. The first guard picked up her carry-on from the booth, and the other two waved her ahead of them down a corridor.
In here!
Here was a small compartment where a female security officer searched her thoroughly under the watchful eyes of the guards and the very obvious scan units mounted in the corners.
You may sit down.
Esme sat down, more disturbed than she liked to admit to herself.
Is there something wrong with the ID scan?
Not a thing. Wait here.
The officer left, and the guards remained. The one carrying her bag had disappeared. Time passed. Esme thought of all the obvious things to say.
There's been some kind of mistake. What's the matter? Why are you holding me?
But there was no point to saying any of it. Whatever was wrong, she might as well wait until she found someone in authority. More time passed. She repressed a deep sigh and wondered if her former enemies, Cassie Ferrati's friends, had framed her for some crime,